supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Conditions look increasingly intriguing for the possibility of life in our solar system beyond Earth. Let's take a trip to Saturn with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, actually not the parent planet, but one of Saturn's moons.
There seems to be a lot of liquid water out there. We're talking about distances away from our sun up to 885 million miles plus out. And we're also beginning to understand a mechanism through which that water can remain liquid because of a heat source.
Well, if that heat source is not the sun, tell us more.
And that's the really interesting question about this. When we look at the moons, the first thing we surmise is that tidal action, tidal forces caused by the moon's motion around the gigantic planets, being pulled back and forth between the gigantic planet itself and the other moons of that planetary system, it was thought that perhaps this was a way to generate heat for these interiors. But upon further analysis, at least with one of these moons of Saturn called Enceladus, perhaps that's not enough motion to cause enough heat generation on a solid cored moon to generate the heat necessary to keep water at a liquid at that tremendous distance from the sun. I mean, if you look at the system overall, what you see is that these outer planets, Jupiter, for example, generates more energy than it receives from the sun. So can that energy be transferred somehow to these moons? And this gravitational motion that causes the tidal forces that might keep the interiors warm might be one. But on a solid cored object, that might not be the case. If the core of that moon is not solid at all, but is made up of some other form, either pieces or more sandy, in which that tidal friction caused by the pull of the bigger planet and the other moons might allow these inner materials to slide past each other, generating friction, but then because of the unconsolidation, be porous enough to let water from the surrounding liquid ocean penetrate so it can be heated. That might be a way for enough heat to be generated to create the water jets that the Cassini spacecraft saw spewing out from the south pole of Enceladus.
Is it beyond dispute that there is a liquid ocean?
It is well beyond dispute that there is a liquid ocean. There's a considerable amount of water there. And the models that are being examined don't show any reason why this mechanism would not have been in operation for perhaps a billion years or more. Studies and models indicate that microorganisms showed up on this planet within 500 million years. That's half a billion years. So given that perhaps Enceladus at its core might have been generating heat with a liquid water ocean for perhaps a billion years, that's twice as long as it seems to have taken for microorganisms to develop here on Earth. One of the ways that we've identified the possible development of microorganisms here was in the deep oceans, down on the ocean floors, where hydrothermal vents circulated that hot water and through the rock layers in the upper mantle and lower crustal regions of this planet allowed for the solution of minerals into this water that is then brought back into the ocean environment where it could be used by microorganisms to sustain their life. There's no reason to imagine that the development of hydrothermal vents on the floors of the oceans at Enceladus could not have happened also.
Let's park for the moment this search for life on other orbs and take up a very strange phenomena, a supernova that just won't quit.
Stars can reach a point in their life where they can no longer sustain the energy generation at their core. The core collapses. The temperature rises dramatically. The outer envelope of gases is blown off in an effort to rebalance itself. We know this big explosion as supernova. It seems to be a one-and-done kind of event. However, what we're seeing is now an object that appears to have multiple stages of supernova activity, where it blows off some of its envelope, but not enough to change the core dramatically enough so that it completely breaks down and starts on its next course. But instead, we've seen this star peak in its brightness and energy, drop off as if it's gone supernova, and then rise up to a peak again and again and again. And nothing like this has been seen before. There are some possible suggestions for after 3 years of observation, it may be that the star is finally beginning to tail off in its energy generation and assuming its next stages of life.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Newsworks Tonight.